to The Golfing Mind, the podcast which talks about golf in general, but the mental game of golf in particular. I am, as always, your host, Robin Seeger. I'm the author of a number of books, primarily Silent Mind Golf, Silent Mind Putting, and Golf Under Pressure. From an early age, I became quite fascinated in the difference between people who succeeded and people who didn't, given that they all had equal abilities and equal opportunity. Why did some people rise to the top of their chosen profession and others didn't? Now, obviously, there's many, many factors involved in this, and people often talk to me about luck or physical ability, and I think that plays a part with everybody. But I do think that there are two factors that I see time and time again in high-performing professionals, which I don't see in your day-to-day amateur player, and I include myself in that. So don't imagine because I know this and I'm able to investigate it at quite a, you know, deeper level than most people would give to it, that I am somehow able to apply it. But I do have an understanding which has helped my game immensely and was one of the reasons I ended up writing the book Silent Mind Golf, because it's not enough to know stuff, you have to be able to apply it. So what are the two things that I've noticed amongst the high-performing people in life, in business, in the world of exploration, invention, wealth creation, and for my audience here today, golf? And it's the following. Number one is they have an unshakable self-confidence. They have a belief in their ability to achieve. The second thing they have is a will to win, which borders on the obsessive. So these are not people you would have a friendly game of table tennis with, or a friendly game of cards with, or a friendly game of darts with. If you are going to compete against these people, there's only one outcome that means anything to them, and that's winning. And yet, when I talk to many average amateur golfers about what they wish they could change, they'd say, well, I'd like to play better golf. So my next question is, well, do you believe you can? And more often than not, they go, well, I hope I can. Hope isn't a strategy. And for each and every one of us, belief isn't about being arrogant or being delusional. It's about having a sense that it is possible, it can be done, and you can do it. In my very first book I wrote, which was called Natural Born Winners, I came across an extraordinary statistic, and it's a fact that I have repeated for the last 30 years, and it's based on the research that says at the age of four, 96% of children have high levels of self-confidence. This means they have a very high sense of their own ability to achieve, and rightly so. They've learned to walk, to talk, to feed themselves, to clothe themselves, to articulate what they need. They are fairly fearless. I mean, kids will naturally climb up a ladder. They will naturally eat food from the dog's bowl without any permission from the dog. They just believe they can do whatever they put their mind to. And yet by the age of 18, the level of confidence has gone down to less than 1%. The evidence, and from what I've read, seems to infer that we have a self-image. And at the age of four, our self-image is based upon the fact we've received 4 years of praise and unconditional love, unconditional approval. So when we do anything, we're told we're very clever. We learn to walk, aren't we a clever boy? We use a fork for the first time, who's a clever girl? We do a drawing, who's a clever little artist? So our self-image is constructed of the messages it's receiving from the outside world. Therefore, if you're told continually you're clever, you're pretty, you're smart, then your self-image will be congruent with that image. You go to school. Other kids tell you you're not pretty. The teacher tells you you're a bit of a dummy. The gym master tells you you're not very good at running. So your self-image starts to change appropriately or according to the messages we choose to believe. Now that's important, the messages we choose to believe. I think the most successful people I've met have their own reality. what they believe about themselves. So when a business fails and someone says, you can't run a business, they think to themselves, yes, I can run a business. That one didn't work, and I've learned why it didn't work, but I'll make sure that doesn't happen again. So by the age of 18, what happens is that the negative messages we get from our peer group, our teachers, often unintentionally, gets replaced by our own voice. And then we tell ourselves, well, I'm pretty clumsy. I'm not good at singing. I can't really dance that well. Now, consequently, we have a self-image which is less able to believe in its ability to achieve. Now, this might sound like, yeah, I get that, Robin. What's that got to do with golf? Well, it's got absolutely everything to do with golf. I know in an earlier podcast, I often say that if anyone ever asks you what kind of a putter are you, tell them you're a good putter. Because what we say about ourselves is what we believe about ourselves. And what we believe about ourselves is what gives us confidence. And from our confidence becomes our ability to perform at a higher level. How often do you see some of the greatest golfers of the in history later in their career unable to make a putt? Unable to take the club back. I mean, it's tragic when you see some of the great golfers who, what went? Their confidence, their ability to believe in their ability to make short putts. So that's why for us as amateur golfers and keen enthusiasts, we really need to have a belief in our ability to succeed. When I step over any putt of under 12 feet, I believe I'm going to make it. Now, obviously, I'm not going to make them all. In fact, I probably make about less than half of them. But that belief enables me to make what I think is a confident stroke. When I don't believe I can make a putt, I become very tentative. I become very hesitant. We've all had those days when nothing goes right. When you expect to miss the putt, and when you miss the putt, you say to yourself, I knew I was going to do that. Isn't that the worst? So what I wanted to reflect on today was this ability to, you know, I often say, be kind to yourself when you talk to yourself. But more importantly, you know, we may not all have this obsessive will to win. I mean, everybody likes to win, but it may not be sort of an obsession, which turns us into very bad losers and the kind of people I prefer not to play golf with. I mean, don't be under illusion. There are professional golfers who are just, I would say, bad sports on the golf course. And why shouldn't there be? Because it's part of the human condition. Some people hate to lose and some people can't hide the fact they hate to lose. But I do think that the important thing is to be gracious in defeat, learn from defeat. And I also believe that it's really important that if you can learn to control your emotions on the golf course, it's going to serve you well. Now, I know we often can hit a bad drive or we miss a short putt. We walk onto the next tee and we absolutely thrash a drive and it goes straight down the fairway. I mean, it's just monster drive. But more often than not, we don't. So you either control your temper, your emotions and your beliefs, or they control you. So if you're going to believe anything about yourself, believe you're a good golfer, a capable golfer, a golfer who can improve. And when you have a bad day in the course, just accept it as a one-off, not who you are as a player. And that's really it. As for the will to win, well, that's a personal thing. And as I said, we like to win, but it's not the be-all and end-all. Golf is a game. And at the amateur level or the club level of the weekend golfer, we play it to have fun. And the important thing is to make sure we have fun when we play golf. So, well, those happy thoughts for you today. Have a great week ahead. For those of you that are interested in developing the mental game to a higher level, there's an online program at seagergolf.com. It's Silent Mind Golf. There are various levels you can do it at. But basically, it's a weekly 10-minute lesson for me with some exercises and a downloadable PDF and one or two downloadable soundtracks to help you with the guided meditation and visualizations. If you're a professional and you'd like to work with me one-to-one, just get in contact me through seagergolf.com. And until we speak again, have a wonderful week. Play good golf and enjoy yourself wherever you may be in the world. And if you have any questions for me, please send them in and I'll answer them online if appropriate. Many thanks.